God bless you all this morning. That's my prayer. The last song we sang there, it had the phrase in it, "Thou art my only help, Thou art my life." Have you ever wondered if there's more to this Christian life than you have? Have you ever wondered if there's more to God than what you know? You ever wondered that? I have. Who is God to you? Some super spiritual being up here that you kneel down and pray to? Somebody that you've been told is a God who cares for you? You can read in the Word about His love for you. Or is He your friend? Your confidant? What I mean by that is somebody that you can reveal everything to. And somebody you usually do. Somebody that you can trust. You can depend on. He's your friend. He's beside of you. Is that who He is to you? Or is it just some being that you, when you kneel down and pray and you bless Him and you worship Him with words, is that who He is? Who is He to you? Who is God to you? Answer the question in your mind. Who is God to you? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? Satisfied with your life? Satisfied with your relationship? Satisfied with the way things are between you and God? Are you satisfied? Do you enjoy being a Christian? Being part of God's family? Do you enjoy that? Is that a privilege to you, or is that a responsibility? Is that something that it's like, I get to do this? Or is it something like, I should do this, I need to do this? Is it a joy to you, or is it a bit of a drag? To be a Christian.
I want to talk about our more God.
If you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll read a couple verses there. And have some comments, maybe. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 is where we'll start. Paul says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And I'm going to skip the next couple of sentences. It's a parenthetical phrase there. And I'm going to go down to the 11th verse. May abound to every good work, being enriched in everything, in all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God, or causes us to be thankful. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And ye, always, if he does this, if you let him do this, if you accept this from him, he says you're always having all sufficiency in all things. All sufficiency in all things. Sufficient in all things. Are you satisfied with who God is in your life? So that ye may abound to every good work. I can say the same thing another way and say, am I satisfied with my life? Am I satisfied with what I get from God? Am I satisfied with what God wants to do in me, through me, to me? Am I satisfied with that? I do not give it to you saying I am necessarily. I am speaking to myself as well. But this is the question. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? I'd like to convince you this morning that without judgment, please let me do this, there's more to be had than what you have. I make that not as an accusation. I make that because there's no limit to God. And probably I could ask for a raise of hands. How many of you would like to have more? You'd probably all raise your hands. For one thing, it's the right thing to do, right? For another thing, it may be true. I'd like to have more. And God has it to give. And I want to show you who he is a little bit out of his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14 goes on. He says, he's talking to the Corinthians, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I wonder if we realize how great that gift is that he has to give to us. First Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That my faith was his tried, that God wants to work in and through me, that it is found more precious than gold that perisheth, he says, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What will my life be at the appearing of Jesus Christ? Will my faith have been tried and tested and made strong and purified to the point that when he appears, it is unto his praise and his honor and his glory? Or will I be a little bit ashamed? Another version says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is my life? Have I gotten all out of this life that God wants to give me? Or am I satisfied with mediocre? I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I believe that there's two types of persecution and trial. There's probably more than that. I'll divide it into two. One is when life gets hard, when they try to stamp the life out of you, whether it be your physical life or the life of Jesus Christ, when they persecute you, and we've never experienced that, maybe seen some of it a little bit, maybe, or read about it. When they try to do that, that's one type of persecution. That's one thing the devil tries to do to stamp out Christianity, to destroy the work of Christ. That's one thing he tries to do. That's one style, one way of persecution. There's another way, I think, that the devil also uses, and that is through our prosperity. And that is through the ease of life. That is through because things are so easy that we just kind of satisfyingly go through life a little bit mediocre. That's also a trial that I think God allows. I'll say we call them blessings, and I'm not going to take that away from you. I appreciate them too. But I think we should be careful that we don't look at those things and just say, life is easy. I think we should be aware that this, here in America, this little bubble we live in, that I think is less than 10% of the people live like we do, that it is a bubble, and that it could be the very thing that the devil wants to use to stamp your life out. Could be. He goes on there, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. He says, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory for what Jesus Christ has done for me? Is that the outflow of my life? I'm challenging myself. Or do I have some struggles, maybe some sins that I just simply can't seem to get over? It just keeps coming back. I'm going to suggest, and I'll call them addictions. Addictions. None of us want to be accused of being addicted to anything. We don't want to be addicted to except the love of the Lord, as Paul says one place there. But addicted to something that's immoral, something that's so it's something that is not only, it wouldn't have to be immoral, just simply something that is, that controls me. That's what an addiction is. It's something that controls me. And it doesn't feel like I have any power over it. I don't have any control. It feels like that thing controls me. I just, when the temptation comes or when the situation arises, whatever, and it just simply takes over. Whether it be, you know, dealing with people or whatever. I'm going to suggest to you, just a little bit of a rabbit trail here, but it's in my notes. It seemed like God put it here or gave it to me to think about a little bit. Addictions. What are we going to do with those things? When we're at the end of time, and when we're called up before God, however that's going to be, and we're judged before Him, well, however that's going to be, I don't know. But I don't want to have to stand there and say, yeah, Lord, I did have this addiction. I never kind of got over. And He's going to say, why not? He's going to say, the grace was there. I was willing to help you. Why not? Well, now I know there's psychological changes and brain changes and all those kind of things. And all those things, that's all true. But the bottom line of overcoming any addiction is going to be in trusting God. It's going to be in receiving the grace that God has to give you to deal with that thing. That's going to be the bottom line. When I say grace, I like to think of that word as power. The power of God. And if I cannot overcome an addiction outside of the power of, or how to say this? I must overcome addictions. Addictions can be overcome by the power of God. Because if they cannot be, then that thing is bigger than the power of God. And there's no such thing as something bigger than the power of God. No such thing. There's no such thing as an irresistible force meeting an immovable object. There's no such thing as that. It cannot be. Because God is all powerful. I want to just give that to you. You take it home with you, and you consider this little thing that keeps, I have to keep dealing with back here in my heart, my mind, whatever it is, that little thing, whatever it is, whether it be bitterness or whether it be unforgiveness or whatever it is, take it home with you and consider, am I letting the grace of God give me power to overcome this thing, or am I letting that thing overcome me? You know the scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, Paul was asking about this thorn in his side, and he said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When I come and I recognize I can't do this, God's grace is there sufficient. Our more God. This question about, am I satisfied? Have I fulfilled all the expectations God has of me? Have I partaken of all the power He has to give me? Or have I been a bit mediocre and not even accepted or used or tried? Jeremiah, I think this was mentioned. I forget where this was mentioned. Yesterday or sometime, I'm not sure. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, or to give you a good end. And he goes on and says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. It's what God said. I will hearken unto you. I will listen. I will hear you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. When I search for you, Lord, with all my heart, I can find you. I can have power. That's our God. Look at the Beatitudes there when Jesus was here and he gave this little message here, or big message. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who else can give you the kingdom of heaven besides God himself? But he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what God can do. He can give you the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, the lowly, the ones willing to be nothing and satisfied with whatever they boast about nothing. They're just simply humble people, poor in spirit. They're not the high and mighty. Just simple people without a prideful, boastful spirit behind them that forces them, that makes them do things they do. Just a humble people. God can make that person. That's different than the way we think in the natural, physical, logical world today. In the logical world today, the more you exercise, the stronger you get, the bigger you are, the better you are. There you go. Just keep on going. That's the way you do it. But God says, come down low, and then I'll bless you. That's the power of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that carry burdens and don't just shuff them off. Blessed are they that carry burdens. God is able to comfort you. Blessed are you who are willing to carry the burden for yourself, for Christ, for God, for others. Blessed are you who's willing to carry the burdens. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Those that press not for wealth and fame. Blessed are those that are satisfied with little, less satisfied. They shall inherit the earth. Nobody but God can do those kinds of things to us, for us. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those that hunger and thirst after love, righteous. After that, idea, that mindset of it's not about me, it's about others. It's about God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after love for others, after love for God, righteousness. They shall be filled. God will do that. Are you satisfied? Are we satisfied with who we are? Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. The tender heart towards others, even in their unrighteous state, even when they have hurt us or they kind of got under our skin. He says, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. God is able in his righteousness to extend mercy to us. The pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called the children of God. These are things God does. And what's more, he goes on and says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Or he says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's God. You know, so here we've talked about this God now. How do we learn? How do we get to the place where, yes, I'm not satisfied. I want more. Well, yesterday we saw the results of how you do it. We saw two young people, I suppose 5 years ago, they didn't even know each other. Had no idea that each one, either of them existed. Over a period of time, the hand of God, they got to know each other. And you know how they got to know each other? They spent time together. You know how they came to love each other? They spent time together. They discussed with one another their likes and their dislikes, their differences and their indifferences. They related together. They purposefully talked about things that, I'm assuming this, that maybe they found some differences and they had to work through those things, but they worked through them. And the result was a marriage. The result was they came together and said, I'll be faithful to death. You know how they did it? They walked together. They spent time together. They talked about their differences. And like I said, that's the same way you get to know your Lord. That's the same way you get to know God Almighty. You spend time with Him. You spend time with Him. If you are dissatisfied with where you are with the Lord, let me suggest to you, maybe you need to spend a little more time with Him. He's not a person that will ever let you down. You know, we people sometimes, we do spend some time together and we find some differences and we have a little bit of a struggle between us. Not well with God. Not so with God. Spend time with Him. He'll never let you down. That's how we learn to love God. I told you I was going to talk about our more God. God is more than we realize. Almighty God, this supernatural being, this one who sent His Son into the earth as Jesus, there's more to Him than we realize. There's more to Him than we realize. There's more to Him than we realize. You know, life does bring its challenges. It does for everyone. Every one of us. We may have health challenges. We may have our marriage challenges. We may have our family challenges. We may have our financial challenges. We may have discouragement or disappointment. Life brings those things. That's just something we have to deal with. To overcome. That's what we have to deal with. We're in a temporary situation called life. It's very temporary. Wasn't very long ago, I was 20 years old. Wasn't very long ago, you were born. Really. When you talk about the length of eternity, if there is such a thing, you can't even lengthen. Length of eternity is not even the right way to say it. It doesn't have a length. When you talk about eternity, there's nothing like it. But God, in Romans 5:8, he says, but God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Get a hold of this. This is who our God is. This is who we worship. This is who we are accountable to. This is our, ultimately, our judge. This is God. And again, in Ephesians, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." That's God. God is willing to, even when we were dead in our sins. You know, you've had the experience of something that just simply repulsive. You didn't want to touch it. You didn't want to look at it. That's the way we were to God. Look at it that way. That's who we were. "But he loved us. He hath quickened us together with Christ." And he goes on there in Ephesians, says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth, in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." This is what we can have. This is how we can overcome our struggles. This is how we can overcome our addiction. This is how we can be who he wants us to be. "That he would grant you according to his riches in glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. "That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ." To know the love of Christ. To know it. To feel it. To have him walking there beside of you. He's your friend. He's your helper. He's right there with you all the time. That's a challenge. I'll admit it, it doesn't feel like that to me sometimes. But he is. That's what he says. And he says, "To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think." That's what he says. "According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." You know, we are created for the glory of God. That's why we were created. We were created. Man back in the garden was created. And now you have been perpetuated all down through time. And here you are now today. You're here for the glory of God. You're here for your life to show the glory of God. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. Sure, there's some things we need to do. We need to make a living and all those kind of things. But ultimately, the purpose, the reason we're here is for the glory, to show forth the glory of God. We're created for his glory. We're saved for his glory. It's why we're here. I'll mention this briefly to brother yesterday. You probably, most of you, heard this. He suggested that maybe marriage was not necessarily to make you happy as to make you holy. Maybe that's the same way with life itself. It's not necessarily, you don't have it just to be happy. You have it to be holy for the sake of God, for the sake of Christ. God is faithful. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but just such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." God is faithful. Never forget that. God is faithful. You wonder where he is sometimes? He's faithful. He's not going to leave you. He's always there. In Romans, he says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him and shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. He is more than we understand. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Paul said one place there in Philippians, he says, oh, that I may know him. I think he was saying, I have such a desire. I want to know him more and more and more. I want to know him. I'd like us to go home today and consider, how bad do I want to know him? How bad? Do I really want to know him? Do I really want to know him more? Do I really? Do I act like it? Do I pursue him like I mean it? Is my heart desirous only after the things of God? Sure, there's things of life. I'm not taking away any of those things. We're not going to sit around all day and just read the scriptures and pray and worship and do nothing else. But the point is, as Paul said, oh, that I may know him. Oh, that I may know him. He is a God who gives joy. But he gives it, one place the scripture says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that is just abounding. Joy. 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 First Peter, he says, that's where he talks about that. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is that my testimony? Not just peace, but peace that passes all understanding. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. We are not moved by peer pressure. We're not moved by others. Our eye is single. We have one aim, one vision, one goal. And that peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. In Hebrews it says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. God is able to do that to the uttermost. Probably most of us here, maybe we do, I don't know. Do I really think I was at the uttermost when I came to God? Was I like as far out as anybody could ever, 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 ever be? We kind of tend to look at those men who have committed horrible crimes and say, surely it wasn't that bad. Whether you did those crimes or not, and none of you did, God's able to save that person, and it takes just as much to save you. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace which passes all understanding. He says in Philippians again, well, the verse prior to that, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Let your request be made known unto God. That's what we're all about. Our requests, whatever they are. Do I want to advance or do I want to go farther than where I am? Do I want to go deeper with God? What do I want? Let your request be made known unto God. He'll hear you. And he says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Able to save them to the uttermost. Because Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. Not just free, but free indeed. Not just free, but free indeed. Free in everything, in every way. That's what God, Jesus Christ, does for us. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not just loved, but love that died for us. You know, I would love somebody here, my wife. I could die for her, but it still wouldn't save her. But Jesus died to save us. We all know that. It's very simple, very clear. We heard that all our life. But just think about it, if I can. We're talking about God who gave more. He gave everything beyond what we could do, beyond what we could even ask. He gave it. I mentioned this, but I said not just grace, but sufficient grace. Grace that abounds. Paul says one place, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I will glory in mine infirmities. I'll say I'm thankful for those things that's hard for me so that the power of Christ can rest on me. And not just life, but eternal life. John says that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Not just mercy, but tender mercies. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He is more than a friend, he's our Savior. He's more than a friend, he's our Savior. God cannot lie. Two immutable things, it says in Hebrews there, it was impossible for God to lie, and it still is. He cannot be unfaithful, he cannot break a promise. He began all things, will end all things. He's your creator. He's your drawing power. He's your savior. He's your keeper. He's your rewarder. God. He calls us to a life that is what he is. He calls us to a life that is what he is. He's faithful. He calls us to that kind of a life. He's loving, he calls us to that kind of a life. Merciful, he calls us to that kind of a life. And it reflects who he is. That's this kind of a life. This life, this God of more, this more God, is it is more than a questionable life. It's an unquestionable life. It's a believing life. It's a life full of faith. It's a life that offers us freedom from sin, freedom from the world, freedom from ourselves. Really? God offers us the ability to be free from ourselves? He does. He does. And that's where we're going. That's what God is. That's what God is wanting to do for us. God is able to do that. He takes us free from sin, free from the world, and free from ourselves. Some great day, every knee will bow. Someday, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Almighty. Every day, absolutely every person. The parable Jesus gave there of the situation of this parable or just a story, whatever he told there, was there were those who said, "Didn't we do all these things for you?" And he said, "No." And then he said to some others, he said, "You have done what I've asked you to do. Well done. What's the difference?" The difference was the ones, they did it. First of all, they did it. They gave all these things. But probably more than that is
They did it for the right reason. They did it for the right reason. They did it for the glory of God. They did it for Him. You know, what awaits us as we walk through our life, what we can have victory. We can have no sin. Well, okay, we can be forgiven of our sin. I'm not going to preach this sinless perfection. I don't believe in that. But God does help us walk through those things, and we overcome, and we overcome, and we overcome. You know, the question is, I guess sometimes, so if heaven's going to be like that, what is it supposed to be like here on earth? What is it supposed to be like here on earth? I think we could say that, and we've said this, it's been a whatever we, death is not an end, it's a gateway. We just walk through life on into eternal life. And I don't know how all that's going to work, but I believe that's true. Whenever we start here, we're born here, we live these 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is, or 40 or 30, we live, and death is not the end, it's a gateway into an eternity. It's a gateway, so what changes? I don't think that we have to wait till heaven. He says this here, that's what we're talking about. We don't have to wait to heaven to get to have this power, these things that God wants to give us. We can have them here. That's our goal. Do I always attain to it? I admit I don't. But it's what we believe. It's what God is able to do. I talked about our satisfaction with our life. Am I satisfied? Am I not satisfied? Is my satisfaction God's satisfaction? What I am satisfied with, is God satisfied with? Sure, He takes us where we're at, and He helps us, He walks with us, He carries us, blesses us, helps us on, forgives. He keeps doing that. That's what God does. But the challenge is that we don't get satisfied with that. Our satisfaction is only in as we walk with God that we become more and more like Him. More and more conform to His image. Romans chapter 15 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." The God of hope. The God of hope. That's who He is. He's a God of hope. I hope in God. It is hope because I have not yet seen it. But it will happen. It will be fulfilled. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Our desire is that everything in me would be sanctified for His glory, not mine. For His praise, not mine. For His satisfaction, not mine. For His honor, not mine. We boast not in our accomplishments. We give credit to Him who deserves all credit. That's our desire for our testimony. When people look at your life, is it possible that they could see something that they say, "I want more of that"? I think it's what we're called to. May that be our desire, to show forth Jesus Christ to the extent that our neighbors and our friends and people, our families around us say, "I want more of that. I want what they have. There's something there." I'm going to read you a poem.
about the grace of God. My grace, 'tis the God of all grace who hath spoken, whose word in the heavens forever is set, whose covenant promise can never be broken, he never can fail nor forget. He knoweth my needs, he seeth my sorrows, however so many or great they may be. He heareth my prayers for the days and the morrows. His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me. His power is sufficient for me to live this life that he wants to give us. My grace, all his blessings, this work is unfolding. His love and his power in harmony blend. His love and his power in harmony blend. 'Tis grace that hath saved me, and grace that is holding, and grace that will keep to the end. 'Tis grace that hath written redemption's glad story, and grace all the song of the ransom shall be. 'Tis grace that transforms me from glory to glory. That grace is sufficient for me. My grace is, not was, nor will be. 'Tis flowing each hour and each moment my need to supply. The deeper I dip, still deeper 'tis growing. No drought can diminish or dry. My heart from the future no trouble shall borrow. Eternal this present provision shall be. Assured for today and as sure for tomorrow, such grace is sufficient for me. My grace is sufficient. Oh, help without measure. An ocean of riches no plummet can sound. A storehouse unfailing of infinite treasure. A gift without limit or bound. Exceeding abundant for all his creation. Enough for the thorn that is buffeting me. The fullness of God for earth's brief tribulation. My grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient for thee, for my utmost salvation. As though ne'er another had owed him a debt. For my special grief and my special temptation. My cares and my sins that beset. He giveth more grace for my humble endeavor. I am praising him now. I shall praise him forever. His grace is sufficient for me. That grace is what's available to us to live out these expectations that God says he would give to us. That grace. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Lord, I think I can say, I know I can for myself, I think I can say for probably all of us, we have failed to truly believe you in all these things. If I can be as you want me to be, then I have accomplished your will for me in this earth. Lord, help us. We want to be a light and a testimony of your power, for your glory, for your praise, for your honor. Lord, help us. Thank you, Lord, for the promises you gave us, that they are unfailing, unending, never changing. And that these promises we have made to live faithful till death, to live them out truly for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. Lord, help us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as we go forth from here, that there would indeed be a change. We could become more and more like you. We could believe you and accept and receive those blessings you want to give us. Lord, help us.
And now, Father, while we have admitted that we have not fully believed you, we have failed in that, we ask your forgiveness. We ask that we would receive and be able to receive whatever you bring to us, you give to us, without complaining or grumbling or wishing it were different. Lord, help us. May your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives right now, like it is in heaven. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. The question was raised in the beginning, who is God to you? And we were asked to answer that in our own heart. Who is God to you? Is he someone you can trust? Now, for most of us, you know, it's kind of a rhetorical question, right? But in reality, is he someone that you can trust? On Thursday evening, we were here at the church setting up the tables, getting ready for the wedding. I think we got home 9:30-ish, towards 10. We hadn't eaten. Most of us hadn't eaten before we came. And so my wife put out milk and peanut butter crackers is a simple go-to. And someone noticed that there's a car stopped along the road with the four-ways on, and someone was, well, what's up with that? And Junior looked out the window towards the west and said, oh, there's a fire. Our next-door neighbor's barn was completely engulfed in fire. And instinct kicks in, you know, you just run. This is only 100 yards from our house. And we didn't first put our jackets on. We just ran. My neighbor and his boys are standing outside, some of them half-dressed. They were in bed already. And they're at complete loss to what to do. Their horses are in there. Their livelihood is in there. And they can't get to it. Their offices isn't in there. Their equipment is in there. And it's no point in even thinking of a fire extinguisher or a garden hose. The fire company is, there's sirens going everywhere. The fire company is coming. And they pull out these 3-inch hoses, 2,000 pounds of pressure. It's a joke. A 30 by 50, I mean, it's a fairly big barn, completely engulfed. Can we trust God if our livelihood burns up? It's a picture of hell, is what I said. The fire was so hot that downwind from the fire, all the trees started burning. The horses are burning, and now the trees are burning, and the squirrels are screaming on the treetops. It was a pitiful thing for me to hear. They're trapped up in the tree, further up, And the fire is burning here, and they're screaming. Some of them are burning, probably. Can we trust God in these situations? Turn your Bibles back to the chapter Brother Mark read to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'd like to read that verse again. We like to quote verse 8 because it's a nice verse. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And then in verse 11, it says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God, which is probably better translated, you will be enriched. What I'd like to point out here is verse 8 is sandwiched in what? Is it not in being a cheerful giver? Look at verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then the next verse, after 8 and 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, Paul is quoting here somewhat out of Proverbs. In Proverbs, we read that, in Proverbs 22, we read that he that hath a generous eye shall be blessed. He that hath a generous eye shall be blessed. And so I'd just like to, with Brother Mark, point out to you that we can trust God if we meet him in his terms. If we spend time with him, Brother Mark said. And even more important, if we honor him. What does it help us to spend time with him if we're not going to then give until it hurts and give cheerfully of our things God has given us? They're his anyway. Give it without grudging. And God will be praised. And if you are calling your mother to pick up some groceries and you see someone who needs help and you give, even though you're not a mechanic, you can offer help, you can give of your time, you can give, and God is praised. And furthermore, you will be enriched. We will be enriched. Praise the Lord for his word to us this morning. We can trust God. Even if our baby is in the hospital and the bill is heading towards $2 million, we can trust God. God will make a way for us if we come to him and acknowledge him. I'd like to open it up to you. If you have something on your heart to share, raise your hand and the ushers will get a mic to you.